Okay, so we're going to start in, we're going to complete chapter 13 and go on from there. All right, so we got a bunch of stuff done. We got a lot of conceptual stuff done. And then we're going to get to the nut and bolts of this. So we're not going to spend that much time on chapter 13 because you're going to see it's very short, okay? I've done most of the hard stuff already, the conceptual stuff. We talked about homologous chromosomes. Isn't this where we ended?
Yes.
Right? And we said, okay, if you put a sperm and an egg together, you're getting 23 chromosomes from the sperm, you're getting 23 chromosomes from the egg. You put those together, you get 23 pairs of chromosomes. Those pairs are homologous chromosomes. They code for the same traits. That does not mean that they have the same genetic information. So when we talk about where we're heading next in chapter 14 is genetics, and talking about how do we inherit traits like, you know, can we roll our tongues or not. And these genes are on our chromosomes. We're going to get genes from our fathers for certain traits, for tongue rolling or not tongue rolling, attached ears or not attached. And we're going to get genes from our mothers for tongue rolling, attached ears, all that stuff. It may not be the exact same genes. Talk about that. That's where we're going in chapter 14. This is the stuff that is really fun to talk about, all the genetics. And this is really taking off in this next couple decades. So if you're really interested in genetics or molecular biology, there's going to be a lot going on in this field. Okay? I mean, that's just kind of like a rebirth. So this is just reiterating what we said already. We're going to produce sperm and egg in our testes and ovaries. The sperm and egg are going to unite to make a fertilized zygote, okay, a fertilized egg, which is a zygote. And then, you know, well, here's a fertilized zygote here in the picture, sorry. This is still an egg and a sperm. So we have our zygote here, and then, of course, this zygote is going to divide by mitosis. We've talked about mitosis already, where one skin cell makes two identical skin cells, or a nerve cell makes two identical nerve cells to grow into adults. So today we're going to talk about the special type of cellular division that occurs only in the testes or the ovaries, depending if you're male or female, and nowhere else in the body, and that's called meiosis. Okay? Now, we talked about haploid and diploid. I do want you to know what those terms mean. Haploid means half the number of chromosomes. Diploid means twice the number of chromosomes. So for humans, haploid is how many chromosomes? 23, and diploid is 46. Excellent. Okay, so I know it's up there. Oh, so what is the purpose of mitosis then? Just a reminder. Huh? Well, it is the production. I don't even want to say reproduction of cells, because when we think reproduction, we think sex, we think sperm and egg. So let's just say production of cells. So this is meaning the purpose of mitosis is for growth, repair, right? Those are the main purposes. Obviously, we're going to start as a little baby, we're going to get bigger, and then, of course, if we cut ourselves, if we damage tissues, we're going to have to repair those tissues. So growth and repair is the purpose of mitosis. What's the purpose of meiosis? Now we can say for reproduction, we're going to make cells with half the number of chromosomes for sexual reproduction. Again, want to point out, when we talk about meiosis, we're talking about sexual reproduction. Sperm and egg coming together, so we're going to need to make cells with half the number of chromosomes so that we can maintain the chromosome number, right? We talked about this. Humans have 46. We don't have 92 chromosomes, right? We don't have 23. We don't have 40. We don't have 82. We have 46 chromosomes. Okay. Now, we do know that some organisms can reproduce asexually. That's mitosis, when you're making clones, okay? That's not what we're going to talk about in chapter 13. That's just a reminder of what we have talked about, okay? And this can be, obviously, you know, very, very simple organisms like, you know, prokaryotes, but it could also be animals. We have animals, very simple animals, but we still have animals that can reproduce by mitosis. So here's a picture of a hydra. A hydra is a little tiny, tiny organism. You'll learn about them more in the next, 2011. it's about, you know, maybe the length of your pinky nail, maybe. Okay, that might be big. But I mean, you can see it. Actually, if you look in a culture, you can see a hydra. They're transparent. They basically look like a toilet paper roll with a bunch of tentacles at the ends, okay? And they make little buds. So they have their little baby forms on their side, and then it falls off, and it becomes an adult, okay? We can't do that. We don't walk around with little babies growing off of our hips, okay? And then they just fall off and start running around, okay? That would be a cool science fiction movie, but we don't do that. Okay, so we, of course, undergo sexual reproduction. We have two parents. We give rise to offspring that have unique combinations of genes. That's the whole purpose of sexual reproduction, is to shuffle the genes. And that's what we're going to talk about, okay? And we're going to keep talking about it in chapter 14 and 15 and 16 as we talk about genetics, okay? Okay, now, let's talk about this cell division. So let's review the cell cycle for both mitosis and meiosis. So let's just do a quick overview. So this is mitosis versus meiosis. The first thing that's going to occur in the cell cycle, I don't care what we're talking about, whether it's mitosis or meiosis, is the cell has to get ready for division, right? We call that phase, what do we call that phase as the cell is growing and making DNA?
Interphase.
Okay, and we know that there's three main phases of interphase. You should know what's going on in the G1, the S, and the G2 phases. Remember, the S is for
synthesis,
so meaning we're going to make the DNA. This is where we copy the DNA. Okay, the G1 and the G2 phases basically are where the cell grows and where we make the organelles. We have that in meiosis as well. We have interphase, so same concept. Same, you know, little phases, you know, that make up interphase. Okay, so everything's the same so far. Then we know after interphase we have mitosis, and we know that there's prophase, metaphase, anaphase, and telophase. So I'm just going to write it as PMAT. Okay. And then right after mitosis, what happens?
Cytokinesis.
So here's a little review already. Cytokinesis, and the whole point of mitosis is we're going to make how many cells?
Two.
Okay, we're going to make two cells. Are they identical or different? We're going to make two cells that are identical to, you know, what we'll call the parent cell or the original cell, however you want to think of it. Okay, so that's mitosis. So meiosis starts off the same. We have interphase, and then we're going to have meiosis 1 and 2. Because there's two cell cycles. We have meiosis 1. Guess what? We have prophase 1, metaphase 1, anaphase 1, and telophase 1. Okay, so we have the same different stages, but there's going to be some differences. In fact, the biggest differences between meiosis and mitosis is in meiosis 1, so you want to focus on meiosis 1 when you're studying. We're going to have cytokinesis. At the end of cytokinesis, we're going to have two cells with half the number of chromosomes. Okay? So we already know the cells are different, right? Because we've already just reduced the chromosome number from 46 to 23 in meiosis 1. Okay, so we have two cells with half the number of chromosomes. Then we're going to undergo Then we're going to undergo meiosis 2. Okay, so we have prophase 2 and metaphase 2 and anaphase 2 and telophase 2. And then, of course, we have cytokinesis. And now we're going to have how many cells?
Four
cells. And they're going to have half the number of chromosomes. Now, how the heck does that happen? How do we undergo another cell division, another division of the nucleus, and go from half the number of chromosomes after meiosis 1 to half the number of chromosomes in meiosis 2? Whoa, that's weird. Huh? Yes. Up here in meiosis 1, okay, these chromosomes are still replicated. So these are replicated chromosomes. There's only half the number, but they're still replicated. That's the purpose of meiosis II, is to separate these copies from one another. Okay? So when we talk about four cells with half the number of chromosomes after meiosis II, these now are unreplicated chromosomes. Okay? So, the purpose of meiosis II is basically the whole purpose of mitosis, which is to take replicated chromosomes and separate them from one another. So meiosis II is just like mitosis. So again, the main difference between meiosis and mitosis occurs in meiosis I, so we're going to focus on that. Okay? So we're going to do this. We're going to have a cell with eight chromosomes. We're going to kind of do what we did on Tuesday for mitosis, but now we're going to do meiosis. Okay? So we know these replicated chromosomes are going to show up after interphase, right? Because we know that during interphase is when we're going to copy the DNA. So, you know, here's our cell. I'm not even going to draw out the chromosomes here. We're going to say interphase has taken place, right? And now we're going to have a cell that's going into prophase I. And it's going to have eight chromosomes. Now, these are replicated, right? So I'm going to draw eight replicated chromosomes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now, all that other stuff that occurs during mitosis, you know, that we talked about already in, during prophase, like the nuclear membrane starts to break down, the, you know, spindle starts to form, all that stuff is taking place. I'm not going to go over it. We're going to focus on the chromosomes. But all that same stuff occurs. Okay, it doesn't matter whether we're talking, you know, mitosis or meiosis. So I want to focus on the chromosomes because the dance of the chromosomes is different in meiosis I than it is in mitosis. Okay, so we're seeing our eight, we have eight replicated chromosomes here, right? Now, how many of these came from the mother of this fictitious cell that only has eight chromosomes? How many came from mom?
Eight.
Four.
Four. Right? If there's eight total, that means that there's four that came from each, right? Just like there's 46 in us, but there's 23 that came. Okay, so this is four pairs of homologous chromosomes. Do you guys see that? This is very important. In fact, I should do a better job when I draw this, instead of just drawing eight, because really in prophase they're not really, that's not true, they are getting organized. I'm kind of drawing this a little too early on. So let me erase four of these, and I'm gonna make the replicated chromosomes, I mean the ones from the other parent in a different color. Okay. So we have eight replicated chromosomes, we have four pairs of homologous chromosomes. How many molecules of DNA? We have eight replicated chromosomes. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And each replicated chromosome has how many molecules of DNA? Two. So we have 16 molecules of DNA. Hopefully you can see that these are all the same things that I just wrote down. Eight replicated chromosomes equals 16 molecules of DNA. Do you see that? And do you see that eight replicated chromosomes, when we're talking about meiosis and only meiosis, we also are talking about four pairs of homologous chromosomes. The homologous chromosomes only appear in meiosis. Only. Okay. This is going to be important. Notice that there's how many molecules of DNA are in this one pair of homologous chromosomes? How many molecules of DNA?
Four.
Okay, this has four, right? Four molecules of DNA. Do you all see that? This thing is called a tetrad. Tetra stands for what?
Four.
Okay, that's where that came from. Okay. So this is called a tetrad. A tetrad forms when these replicated you know, homologous chromosomes pair up. They make what's called a tetrad. Now, this tetrad's going to be important because there's going to be something that happens during prophase that's going to increase genetic variation, and that thing is called crossing over, okay? So where you see tetrads, you're going to see what's called crossing over. During what we call synapsis. This is kind of redundant. Synapsis is the process where crossing over occurs. Okay, so they kind of mean the same thing, but not exactly. But anyway, when you see a tetrad, you're going to have the process called synapsis, and during this process of synapsis, crossing over can take place. Now, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But then we're going to come back and talk about that. So right now, let's just focus on the dance of the chromosomes. Okay, so we know that replicated homologous chromosomes are going to show up during meiosis one, after interphase. How are we doing so far with what's drawn on the board there? Because this is important. Do you understand that 8 replicated, 4 pairs, same thing as 16 molecules of DNA? You're okay with all that? So this is just showing you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in this picture. This is supposed to be a homologous. You know, these are going to be another homologous pair, and then these will be a homologous pair. And again, it's just based on the size. Remember we said when we looked at our karyotype that we do have different sizes to our chromosomes? I mean, they're not all exactly the same size. Okay. That's what they're showing you in this picture. Okay. Oh, let's come back to this. I don't really care about life cycles. Actually, I'm just gonna tell you, I don't care about life cycles, but when you get to 2011, then you're gonna learn life cycles, okay? What I want you to realize I'm just showing you this mainly because you're gonna see it in 2011, I'm not gonna ask you anything about life cycles on this test, okay? But what I just wanna point out, in animals, the diploid life cycle is the dominant life cycle, okay? We don't look at our little sperm and egg, and they're not like individual organisms, right? They're just cells. The sperm and egg are just cells. They come together to make a zygote, right? That's not the case in other organisms. This is freaky, y'all. But in other organisms, the sperm and egg can grow into other, you know, like multicellular parts of the life cycle. So let me just show you this. In plants, you have this wacko alternation of generations, which Ms. Moore is going to go into detail on. And basically what's happening is the plants that you see, like a tree that you see out there, is a diploid plant. And the plant, like a tree or a flower, is going to make sperm and egg. Now the sperm in a plant is called pollen, okay? And the egg is still in the flower, it's in the base of the flower. But still, you have a sperm and egg. In some very, very simple plants, very simple plants like mosses, the sperm and egg are going to actually grow into little plants. You're going to have what's called a gametophyte. Fight for plant, gameto for gametes, it's only half the number of chromosomes. It's going to be a tiny little plant that's going to actually make the egg, or a tiny little plant that's going to make the sperm, which we don't call sperm, we call it either a pollen, okay, in plants. But these are just wacko things. These are kind of the exception and not the rule. And we're not going to talk about them here, but I just want you to realize that for us in animals, the diploid state is the dominant. We just have one main life cycle, meaning we have diploid, and we do produce gametes, but they're not separate organisms. In plants, you can have separate organisms that are going to produce sperm and egg. That's what's kind of crazy. It's also kind of fun. And then you're seeing this in fungi as well. You could actually have a dominant gametophyte, meaning the fungus, the dominant thing is it's making spores, okay, and those spores are going to now turn into an adult, but we're not adult, okay? So here's our human life cycle. I want you to know, obviously, humans, we are diploid, we do make sperm and egg, and, you know, the whole purpose of that is to maintain our chromosome number. So this is where we're going to go with meiosis. We're going to talk about, you know, during interphase, obviously replication occurs. Then meiosis one, we have the separation of the homologous chromosomes. That's the purpose of meiosis one. Okay, and then the purpose of meiosis two is to separate the replicated chromosomes. So does that make sense, what I just said?
Mm.
Meiosis one, we're going to separate the homologous chromosomes. Meiosis two, we're going to separate the duplicated or the replicated chromosomes.
Those are two big differences.
Okay, we've already answered these questions. Okay. Because we just did it here. But let's just do it real quick. How many cells form after meiosis one?
Two.
Two, are they haploid or diploid? They're haploid already. They're still replicated, the chromosomes are still replicated, but they're haploid. Meiosis two, how many cells form?
Four,
and are they haploid or diploid?
Haploid.
Okay, so here's what's going on, the dance. So let's do the dance. So prophase one. We're going to do eight chromosomes mainly because I want you to compare this to what you did with mitosis, and we did eight chromosomes with mitosis. Prophase one, the replicated homologous chromosomes show up. You can have crossing over. We'll talk about crossing over in a minute. Okay, then we go to metaphase one. Now, what happens in metaphase? Even just think about mitosis. What happens in metaphase?
They line up.
They line up. So this is where we're getting all nice and orderly. So I'm going to draw my four pairs. My chromosomes don't look so good, but I'm going to draw my four pairs. Notice I'm kind of shaking up a little bit. I put the maternal, let's just say the maternal's in red here on the board, and the paternal's in brown. Notice these homologous chromosomes are lined up kind of haphazardly. It's not like all the paternal chromosomes have to be on one side of the metaphase plate and all the maternal ones are another, okay? So I could have drawn it this way, I could have switched these two out, I could have switched these two, I mean, I could have all the paternal up here, all the maternal, you get the idea, it's you know, you don't know which one's gonna be passed down, right? Okay, so that's metaphase one. Anaphase one, so we still have our eight replicated chromosomes, right? We still have 16 molecules of DNA. We still have our four pairs of homologous chromosomes, right? So we still have all that. Anaphase, as you can see, now we're going to separate. So this is what's going to separate out. So these four replicated chromosomes are going to move to one side of the cell. These four are going to move to this other side of the cell. Okay, and we still have in anaphase one, we still have these replicated chromosomes, but notice what's going to happen. Okay, we still have eight replicated, so same thing. We still have 16 molecules of DNA. We still have our four pairs, but the pairs are separating. So this is the big deal with anaphase one, is that the pairs of homologous chromosomes separate. This is why we say the purpose of meiosis one is to separate those out. And then, of course, after cytokinesis, so we have telophase and cytokinesis. We're going to have this. We got three of these paternal ones. Get messy with my drawing my chromosomes, but you get the idea. Okay, and so notice now how many replicated chromosomes in each cell. We have four replicated chromosomes, so how many molecules of DNA? Okay, so we have eight molecules of DNA. Do we have any homologous chromosomes? No, zero homologous chromosomes. The only time we have homologous chromosomes is in prophase one, metaphase one, really, because even in anaphase one, they're already separating. So really, the only time we have homologous chromosomes is in prophase one and metaphase one. So you can see this on this board. Again, I just want to stress, I'm not going to talk about all that other stuff, you know, that we did with mitosis about the nuclear membrane breaking down and the fibers forming and, you know, the microtubules combined with the kinetochores on the centromeres. All that stuff is still the same, okay? We're just focusing on the chromosomes. Okay, so you can see that. So this is obviously anaphase. Here we see telophase and cytokinesis. Now, the purpose of meiosis II is to separate the replicated chromosomes from one another, okay? So if we were to go through meiosis II, I'm not going to draw it out, but what I'm going to do is actually just write the number of chromosomes just so that we, and molecules of DNA, so that we can see this. So we take it all the way to the end. So meiosis II, we have, of course, prophase II, metaphase II, anaphase II, and telophase II. So how many, again, we have eight. I know this picture up here on the board shows six, but let's continue ours out. We're going to start with how many replicated chromosomes? Not in meiosis II. So this is a continuation. Oh. This was at the end. At the end of meiosis I, this is what we had, right? So I'm going to just draw this. And I'll put my maternal ones in here.
Are we talking about one cell or both combined?
We're talking about one cell. Thank you. So let's just talk about this one cell, what's happening. But of course it's happening for, you know, each individual cell, right? So how many replicated chromosomes?
Four.
Okay, so we have four replicated chromosomes, which means how many molecules of DNA?
Eight
molecules of DNA. And we have them for both cells. So, I mean, I can just write this double. But yes, when we talk about, we always focus on just one cell. So that's a good question. I want you to realize that even for a test question, when we do meiosis II, we're still just focusing on one cell. What is that one cell doing? Okay. Okay, so what do we see in meiosis II? How many replicated chromosomes?
Same, right? Four.
Well, we see four. I mean, I know that picture up there just shows three because that only has six. So we still have our eight molecules of DNA, right? That's the same down here. What's happening in anaphase?
Separate.
We're going to separate the duplicated chromosomes from each other. So, how many replicated chromosomes do we have now?
Two.
Do we have any?
No replicated.
Yeah, no more replicated chromosomes. So remember, this is where we're going to separate the copies from one another. So we have no more replicated chromosomes. And what we're seeing, we still have our eight molecules of DNA, but when we get into telophase, we're now going to have four molecules of DNA into each of these new cells, right? Because we're going to have this one cell from anaphase is going to make two cells. Do you see that? This one cell is going to make two cells. And you're going to have that many molecules of DNA. So the purpose of anaphase II is to separate the replicated chromosomes from one another. And that's what you're seeing up here on this slide. How are we doing? So we started with eight chromosomes. We're going to end, which is eight molecules of DNA, right? What we started with originally. We're going to end with four molecules of DNA, and we're going to have four of these. Okay, four of these cells, because this again has zero replicated and eight molecules of DNA. And that during anaphase breaks into two. Okay. So that's the dance of the chromosomes. Do you see that the main difference is in meiosis I? Basically, meiosis II is just a rehash of mitosis. It's what you've already learned. Okay. So we've already talked about this. There's three main events. Synapsis and crossing over occur during prophase I. Literally, the homologous chromosomes touch and share information. Okay? This is called a chiasmata for, you know, plural. But chiasma is literally this little X-shaped structure that you can physically see looking at chromosomes under a microscope. Okay, you can actually see them touching and exchanging this information. So notice, I'm going to trace with my finger. Here's the blue molecule of DNA. Here's the blue molecule of DNA, but it's exchanging information with the red, with the maternal. Okay, so that means this molecule of DNA is going to be different. And let me draw this out. It's big so you can see it. What's happening during crossing over is this. So here's a tetrad, right? Here's the replicated chromosome from the paternal side. Here's a replicated chromosome from the maternal. That's called a tetrad. During crossing over, you can have this occur. I'm just trying to make this. Okay, during crossing over, when we see these little X's that are forming, I didn't draw the X very well down here because I didn't draw it at all. This is called a chiasma. What we're seeing is one end of the chromosome is being switched with the other chromosome. So we're literally, this is happening in your body. This is what you got to remember. In your testes and ovaries, the information from your parents, from your dad and your mom, is being shuffled. You don't know which of these you're going to pass down. I'm going to actually make this a little easier to see. You don't know which of these chromosomes you're going to pass down. You could pass down this chromosome that's an unaltered chromosome, right? That's this one right here. Here's this DNA molecule. You could pass down this chromosome, which has paternal and maternal genes on it. Okay, that's this one right here. You could pass down another chromosome that's been altered. Okay, or you could pass down this maternal chromosome which has not been altered at all. Do you see this? This is what crossing over does. Crossing over mixes up the genetic information in your body. You don't know what you're passing down to your offspring. This is what's happening in your body. And you could pass down these traits so that your kid looks just like grandpa, or just like grandma, or a combination of grandpa and grandma. Okay, because of the shuffling. This is a shuffling of genes right here. That's the importance of crossing over. Okay, so homologous chromosomes physically connect and exchange genetic information. These are tetrads. We call this X that occurs, where this crossing over occurs, a chiasma, okay? We know that these tetrads are going to line up in that face plant, and then the homologous chromosome separates. These are the three big differences between meiosis one and mitosis.
Where does the chiasma form?
This is the chiasma right here. This is the chiasma. It's this little X-shaped structure that forms, and I didn't do a good job drawing it.
It's the part that switches.
It's the part that switches, yeah. Okay, so it's literally the physical attraction, the touching of these two. These are two separate chromosomes. One came from dad and one came from mom. These are two completely different chromosomes, their origin. But now genetic information is switching, and that information can be now passed down to your offspring. So this is why people say, oh, your baby, boy, has your grandma's eyes, but boy, it's got your grandma's lips. Well, yeah, because you're shuffling all this genetic information inside your ovaries and testes, depending on which sex. Okay? So, here's maybe a better picture. Here's mitosis. Mitosis, remember, there's no homologous chromosomes. Everything just lines up on the metaphase plate. The whole purpose of mitosis is to separate the copies of DNA from each other, to separate the replicated chromosomes. That's the purpose. Meiosis, completely different purpose. Now we're going to actually want to make cells with half the number of chromosomes. So we have these homologous chromosomes pair up. We actually have, exchange of genetic information. In meiosis one, we separate the homologous chromosomes. In meiosis two, we separate the replicated. But notice what's being passed down in this picture. This chromosome was the red from, okay, who cares, I'll just say, the red is from mom. Here's a totally maternal chromosome, has not been altered. But here's a maternal chromosome that now has a piece of the paternal on it. And here's a paternal chromosome that has a piece of maternal. Okay, so the thing is, there's shuffling, you just don't know what's being passed down. It's like shuffling a deck of cards and you don't know what you're gonna get, okay, when you are making your own sperm and egg. Okay, this whole idea of crossing over is one way that we bring about genetic variation. Okay, this, does anyone know what a recombinant chromosome is? I actually have it drawn up here. Does anyone know what one is? Can you identify out of these chromosomes which ones are recombinant? Yeah, these are recombinant. Okay, because they have switched out information, right? This is not a chromosome, and I know it doesn't, I didn't do a very good job drawing it because I have like ends to it, and really this is a continuous chromosome, okay? So there should be, you know, ends to it in the, what looks like the middle, so that's kind of crazy that I did that, okay? But these are recombinant chromosomes because they have information from your mom and dad on the same chromosome. That's recombinant. Because you didn't get that information that way. When you got your chromosomes, you got 23 from your dad and 23 from your mom, and now as you're shuffling your genes, you're making recombinant chromosomes that have both information from your mom and your dad. You are making completely new chromosomes. Do you see that? You're exchanging genetic information. Okay. So crossing over is one way to have genetic variation. We're going to talk about independent assortment in just a minute. Random fertilization, okay? How many millions of sperm do men produce daily? Okay, like a couple, okay? And there's one egg. Women are stingy, okay? We make one egg a month. Maybe we make a couple, but typically about one egg. And then there's several million sperm that are placed into the female's body during ejaculation. Who knows which sperm is going to get in there, right? It's totally random. You don't know if it's going to be a sperm with an X chromosome to make a little baby girl, a Y chromosome to make a baby boy. So we don't even know, you know, the sexes. But then also everything else, right? It's just totally random fertilization. Millions of sperm are moving out and trying to get first to the egg to fertilize it. How come we don't have more than one sperm fertilizing the egg? I mean, if there's millions of sperm in one egg, why don't we have like 60 sperm coming inside? Well, there'd be too many chromosomes, right? So that would kind of, you know, nullify the whole purpose of us producing sperm and egg in the first place, right?
Well, could you use sperms attached to the same egg?
Physically, yes, you could have hundreds of sperm attached to one egg. Why only one gets in?
Because it's hard to get up there. It's the strongest sperm.
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, if you think about the female reproductive system, there's a left and a right side. So the egg is being produced either from the right ovary or the left ovary, don't know. So, you know, some sperm are just gonna go in the wrong fallopian tube to begin with. So you have to have the numbers just to make sure you're gonna get some. But you could have 100, how come only one gets in?
Doesn't the egg seal itself off?
Yeah, after that first sperm gets in, there's actually chemical changes all along the cell membrane, making it impenetrable. So only one sperm can get in, okay? Now twins, there's two sets of twins, right? There's identical and fraternal. Identical twins come from one egg and one sperm that for some wacko reason, when they divided, they're gonna divide by mitosis regardless, but for some reason, it makes two cells that then become two identical individuals. And if they're attached, then they're Siamese twins, okay? So that's just something that's genetic. We don't really understand what gets turned on that for that first mitotic division, when they make two cells, why then do those two cells become two individuals? We don't really get that. There's probably something in the genes, because we tend to see that identical twins tend to run in families. You know, they may skip generations, but they tend to run in families. Fraternal twins are two eggs, two sperm, three eggs, three sperm, whatever. So people who are on fertility treatments who are having six children, that's because they had six, you know, eggs, six sperm. So anyway, crossing over random kind of fertilization. Won't say too much more about that. Independent assortment is this idea that you don't know which one of these four chromosomes you're going to pass down. A tetrad is formed in prophase one. But the question is, which one of these chromosomes is going to make it into the egg or the sperm that actually is going to make the baby? And you don't know. That's independent assortment. It's literally the shuffling. It's like having four baskets that you're putting cards into, and you don't know, like, will all the hearts get in one basket? Probably not. All the spades in another? Probably not, right? Because you've been shuffling, and now you're just randomly, you know, setting these chromosomes down. So out of this tetrad, you know, the baby could inherit this one chromosome, this second chromosome, this third, or this fourth. You don't know. That's independent assortment. Okay. And then mutations. What's a mutation?
Trisomy.
Well, it could be a trisomy. Now we're talking about a mutation, though, at the molecular level. When we talk about, oh, they have a mutation in their cells. It's usually in their DNA, okay? Mutations occur during replication. Now, we haven't talked about DNA replication in detail. We've done it in the overview. The DNA uncoils, unzips, and we make copies, right? And we know that if the DNA on one side says A, T, C, C, G, we know that what the DNA should be on the other side, right? Because we know that base pairing. So we know if there's an A here, what should be on this other side?
T.
A T, and then?
T.
A T.
A.
A.
G.
Okay.
G.
A. Right? So you know what should be on the other side of the DNA. Now, sometimes there's mistakes, though. For some reason, oops, instead of a T, a C got put next to this first nucleotide. That's a mistake. That's a mutation. Now, although this can happen, most of the time, and we're going to learn this later, we have enzymes that go in and go, whoa, what the heck? What? How did A and C get together? A and C aren't supposed to be together. A and T are supposed to be together. And the enzyme will take one of these out and will put back, you know, the correct nucleotide. So we actually have enzymes that are going back and fixing mistakes that occur. But we do get mistakes. About one in every million base pairs, we get a mistake. Which doesn't sound like a lot, but you've got billions and billions of base pairs and you're replicating them all the time, so you do get a bunch of mistakes. What would happen, though, if this was a C and the enzyme went back in and went, hey, let's change that sign. Now we have a mutation that sticks, okay, and it's going to cause changes, and we'll talk about that in more detail in whatever chapter 15, I don't know what the chapter numbers. So mutations occur during replication. They are changes in the sequence of nucleotides. They are changes in the DNA. Okay, that's a mutation. Okay, so independent assortment, we already talked about it, but the question is, we don't know which chromosomes you're passing down into your sperm and egg. So here are the tetrads. We're just keeping it simple. We've got four replicated chromosomes, two pairs, two tetrads. So you can pass down all paternal or all maternal, or if they lined up differently on the metaphase plate, you could do half and half. You don't know what you're passing down. It depends on the orientation of the tetrads on the metaphase plate. Okay, and then it depends later on, you know, when you separate those duplicated chromosomes from one another, you know, what your combinations are. So this is independent assortment. Okay, here's a better picture of crossing over than what I have on the board. But here's the chiasma. The chiasma, and this is literally what it looks like under a microscope. It's an X region that is formed between, you know, the ends of the homologous chromosomes that are sharing, they're exchanging, they're not sharing, they're exchanging genetic information. And then this is the end result, is you've got these recombinant chromosomes. So how are we doing so far? Because that's it. Okay, let's take a quiz. Let's see what we know about meiosis.
Quiz time.
Huh? Are you home? You have to do what I'm doing and move around. Go ahead and stand up, please. Let me turn this recorder off.